Do you have your Bibles? Did you get your Bibles ready? Did you come to church with your Bibles today? All right, good. Lift up your Bibles. Lift up those Bibles. Lift them up. Lift them up. Lift them up. I didn't say lift up your iPhone. I didn't say lift up your iPad. I said lift up your Bibles. Your Bibles. Yep, I understand. I understand your Bible might be in your phone. Okay, let's lift up that Bible. I want you to take this confession with me. Say, this is the infallible word of God. It is God's will, God's purpose, and God's promise for my life. I can be everything that this word says I can be, and I can do everything that this word says I can do. I receive into the prepared soil of my heart today everything that God has ordained through His word. And I declare by faith that it is producing fruit in my life. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you again for joining us for this special service. It is an honor to be able to bring the word of God to you today and share it with the saints. And I trust that you have your notes, your pens, with your Bibles, and you're ready to receive as the Holy Spirit ministers through this spoken word. I do want to do more of teaching, really, regarding this all-important aspect of our Christian walk that we don't talk about enough. We don't minister about it enough, but just about everything around our lives revolves around this concept. So I will be taking my time, mostly ministering to you from my notes. Please don't be offended if you don't hear me holler or get too excited. I just would like to be able to discipline myself and minister from my notes and then allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do with the spoken word. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about take the limits off. That's what we have been ministering during these ALO services. Take the limits off. In 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1, Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and we have been made partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. We know that Satan specializes in putting limits on the lives of God's children, on the lives of God's creation. We understand from the very beginning, this is what he has sought to do. And so there are limits Sometimes the limits that we encounter are limits in our minds. Sometimes the limits are just from the world around us. Sometimes these limits are from our past failures, our roots, and our fallen human nature that we all have. And of course, mostly these limits are from our arch enemy, Satan himself. But Jesus came to destroy all these limits and to put the glory of God upon our lives. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. This is a prophetic scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given unto me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel." We are for signs and wonders. So you and I are for signs and wonders. We are not for limits. We are for signs and wonders. We are not called to live a life of limits. We're not called to live a life of corruption. We are called to live a life of signs and wonders, a life of no limits. So limits in our minds can be broken. And we have already learned, even through this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, that says we become partakers of the divine nature through the knowledge and through the promises that he has given to us in his word. The word of God is light. Amen. And that light illuminates our mind. So yeah, it is so crucial that we devote ourselves constantly to receiving, to being in the word of God. Yeah. We also learned in one of these ALO services, we can break limits by putting on the spirit of excellence that is already inside us. The spirit of excellence is already within us. We saw this in the life of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. The spirit of excellence that is within us, if we allow that spirit of excellence to show on our outside, in our lives, we will break limits. The spirit of excellence does help us destroy the limits that the enemy seeks to place on our lives. Today, I want us to move forward, and I'm very excited about this next theme or this next part of our series of teaching, Take the Limits Off. There are four words that I have shared with you over the last couple of services, the ALO services. These four words are so crucial. They are so powerful. And I want you to say those four words with me today. The four words are think, strive, stretch, excel. And before all of these three major words is pray. Amen. Now let's do that in the original order. Strive and stretch mean the same thing. We're going to do it from the first word, which is pray, because prayer is the root of everything. And we're going to do it all the way to excel. So say those four words with me again. Pray. Think. Strive. Stretch. Excel. All right. We're going to do that just one more time to have a more powerful effect. Let's say those words again. Pray. Think. Strive. Stretch. Excel. Amen. Amen. Well, there's prayer. There is thinking or meditation. They're striving or pressing for the mark of God's high calling and becoming the best version of ourselves. And then there is excelling and prospering. Today, I want us to address and learn and talk a bit more about this one part of these four words that we don't talk about a whole lot. And it is the word think. Can you say that word with me? Think.
Think.
Can you say one more time? Think.
Think.
Look at your neighbor. If you are sitting in your family and there's somebody around you, say think.
Think.
Come on now. It's time for you to think. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I know some of you may want to say that to your children, right? You say, can't you think? Can't you think? But to be quite honest with you, there is an aspect of thinking that is so crucial to our succeeding as believers that we really have not unearthed, we really have not learned about. And I'm trusting God that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we would do a little bit of unearthing that concept in this service. Now, obviously, like I said, everything around our lives revolves around this concept. So, what can we do in 45, 50 minutes of ministering the word? We just do a little bit of unearthing. And then the Holy Spirit can take you, if you devote yourself, and you go back into the Word and you get with the Holy Spirit to study this concept, you'll see the Holy Spirit would actually open your eyes to things that may not even be said during this message. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you go with me, please, to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It's a very popular piece of scripture. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. When you meditate therein day and night, then it becomes easy for you to do. It says that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So that is when this book of the law does not depart out of your mouth, when you meditate in it day and night, when you observe to do according to all that is written therein, then it says, you will make your own way prosperous. And you will have good success. Yeah. You will not have to wait for somebody, yeah, some organization, yeah, some government to make your way prosperous.
Yeah.
You will make your own way prosperous. And you will have good success. Somebody say, I make my way prosperous and I have good success. Say it again. I make my way prosperous and I have good success in all areas of my life. Let's talk for a minute about the word meditate. That word there that he describes or that he uses, meditate, actually means to mutter to oneself. That's why he says the word will not depart from your mouth. It means to mutter to oneself or to ruminate. To ruminate is to chew on it. To chew on it. And that actually depicting ruminate, the word ruminate is actually a word from animal science. There is a concept in ruminant animals. When they eat their whatever it is you give to them, whatever their meals are, they first of all take it in. Just take it into one of the compartments of their stomach. And then that's where you see animals eating, then you see them sitting somewhere, kind of just chewing, because there's a process of rumination after they've eaten. They actually bring the food back from one of the compartments where they send that food to, and they bring it back to their mouth and then chew on it before sending it to another compartment to begin the process of digestion. So that word meditate is really something that happens entirely within us as people. It's an internal process, like the word rumination. When you mutter the word of God to yourself and speak it out of your mouth, it's like you are taking it in the first time. And then you get some time to sit and bring it back out. And you bring it up to your mind. You think about it. You chew on it. You look at the different sides of it. And then begin to send it to the compartment where it becomes digested and absorbed into your system. So the word meditation, I've put it into two subheadings. And the first one is purely thinking about the word of God. Thinking about the word of God. Thinking about it, saying it, hearing yourself say it. Thinking about it, saying it, hearing yourself saying it. Thinking about it, saying it, hearing yourself saying it. Thinking about it, thinking about the word of God. The second part of it is thinking within the framework and parameters of the word of God regarding the issues of your life. Thinking within the framework and the parameters of the word of God regarding the issues of your life. Thinking from a biblical perspective, and this thinking that is a principle of success, a principle of prospering, a principle of doing well in our lives, a principle of being godly, a principle of being right before God, is actually a dynamic, active process in the life of a believer. It is something that we must commit to doing regularly. But it isn't just thinking with our basal mind. It isn't just thinking with our natural minds only. We engage our natural minds, but actually we have the help of the Holy Spirit in thinking and engaging in our natural minds. This is what makes the difference between thinking for a spiritual person or meditating and the power of it for a spiritual person versus just a lot of mental gymnastics that a natural person does. A natural person they just keep juggling things, but they are doing it all entirely by themselves, within themselves. But for a believer, we're doing it it's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually engages us as we do it. And part of what the Lord does, recently we were studying in one of our Bible studies, we were studying about King Hezekiah, who the Bible says he expressed his devotion to God. He was committed to God. And he did a lot of things differently from what his predecessors did. And the Bible tells us when he confronted a major challenge, thoughts began to come into his mind. Thoughts. Do you know the Holy Spirit can sprinkle thoughts into our minds? He sprinkles thoughts. He actually engages with us in our thinking. It's not just as we go on our day-to-day life and deal with situations, but sometimes, you know, he just brings things that you are not even thinking about and directs your attention to it. Sometimes it's solutions to difficulties that we have. Like Hezekiah had a problem. He had this king of the nation of Assyria, Sennacherib, was coming against him. And suddenly the thought came within him, let's turn off all the fountains of water. See, that was not just a thought where people sat around and said, what can we do? No, the thought came. The Lord gave him that thought. The Lord can give you thoughts. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So again, what is meditation? What is meditation from the perspective of the Word of God? What are these two classes that we've broken it into? Thinking about the Word of God, muttering it to yourself, thinking about it, muttering it to yourself, thinking about it. And then thinking within the framework and parameters of the Word of God regarding the issues of life that you face. The Lord has answers. And a lot of the answers that the Lord will give to us will not come from us just trying to do mental gymnastics to solve problems. No. Mm-mm. The answers the Lord will give to us will come directly from the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 20, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord through which God illuminates all his inward parts. So the Lord will put thoughts into our minds. Yes, our minds will be fully engaged, but it will be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And you see as we go along that you can always tell the difference between thoughts that are just natural thoughts, just trying to sort something out, figure out a way, trying to find out what people do and do what, you know, without necessarily receiving the endorsement or the direction of the Holy Spirit. You see a lot of that. Hallelujah. Listen to this from my note. Prayer alone, as important as it is never enough. Oh, prayer is so powerful. And it's, you know, in our midweek services, in Abundant Life, we've been talking about prayer for almost a year now on those midweek service teachings. Prayer by itself is powerful. By itself is powerful. But it is never alone. It is never enough for God to do what God wants to do in our lives. God can do much through your life if you don't pay much attention to prayer. Prayer is the root of everything. God can do much in your life if you don't pay much attention to prayer. But on the other hand, God is also limited in your life, and he can do much through you if you don't follow prayer with thinking. If you don't follow prayer with thinking. Say those four words with me one more time. Pray. Think. Stretch. Excel. Hallelujah. Let's continue to talk about think. Go with me, please, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And let's read from verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. He says, this is the Lord speaking through his prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Oh, beloved, hear me. Hear me. The Lord can do something amazing in your life through this, the communication of this message today. He can radically change your life if you allow the Holy Spirit to bring the revelation of his word to you. The Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Oh, ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying here. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so are my ways higher than your ways. He said, "For as the rain that comes down, the snow waters the earth, causes it to bring forth and brought forth, that's how my word will be when it goes forth out of my mouth." Ah, wait. So the Lord is drawing a straight line from his thoughts to his words and the power of it. He's drawing a straight line from his thoughts to his words and what his words will accomplish on the earth. Notice what he says here. He says, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Why? Because his word will not return to him void. That's why. Because his word will not return to him void. You will go out with peace and be led forth with joy. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Yeah. Oh, this is talking about living a life without limits, folks. This is talking about living a life without boundaries, a life without corruption. You go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Watch this, he says, instead of the thorn, that is the thorn, that thorn that is not desirable, that is not comfortable. Instead of the thorn will come up the pine tree or the fir tree, which is joyful, which is comfort. And instead of the briar, that ugly tree, will come up the myrtle tree, the lovely tree. That is, your life will become lovely. Instead of your life having thorns and thistles and discomfort and disruptions, your life will be smooth and your life will be lovely and your life will be joyful. Yeah. Why? Because his word will not return to him void. Yeah. But the Lord draws a line directly from his thoughts to his words. I want you to listen to this directly from my notes. Everything in our lives begin with our thoughts. Everything. Everything. Listen to this dynamic. You know this is the way this works, but let me spell it out to you. Our thoughts will create emotions or feelings. These emotions or feelings will create decisions that we make. These decisions that we make will create habits in our lives. These habits that are created will form our character. Our character will determine our destiny. Do you know there is a straight line from your thoughts to your destination in life? There is a straight line from your thoughts, the kind of thoughts you have, to where you end up. Your thoughts always create emotions. Notice someone who says, I need a fix. It began from thoughts. I need a fix. It began from thoughts. And those emotions that were created out of those thoughts eventually made them make decisions. They decide to go get a fix. Because their thoughts told them, you need a fix. And then when they make that decision to go get a fix, that decision will begin to create habits in their lives. Because it's a cycle. They'll start again from thoughts. The thoughts will create emotions and feelings. The feelings will create decisions. Decisions will make the habit. And ultimately, if you keep repeating the same habits, those habits are formed in our lives. They eventually determine our character. Finally, they say to someone, oh, he's hung up on drugs, or he's hung up on alcohol, or he's this, or he's that, or he's this, or let's turn it around. Let's use a positive example, a godly example. If you have a thought, or you have thoughts that create emotions of wanting to be pleasing to God, wanting to be loving, wanting to be kind to people, wanting to succeed, those thoughts will create emotions, feelings. I want to succeed. I want to be godly. I want to be good to people. I want to be kind. Those emotions will make you take decisions that would make you pursue being pleasing to God, loving people, being kind, being successful. Those decisions will form habits of successful people in your life. You will become a successful person. People think about you as, oh, he's a successful person. Why? Because you have a habit of successful people. Those habits or that habit will create your character. Everywhere you go, it's obvious you are a successful person. You are a godly person. You are a lovely person. And that character will determine your destination. Folks, this is so important. This is so very important. There is a direct line. We need to learn this and we need to give more attention to this. There is a direct line from our thoughts to our destination. You've heard people say this. If you want to change what you are getting in your life, change what you are doing. But what you are doing begins from what you are thinking. People don't even realize that many times. They don't realize that a lot of the conflicting thoughts that they have, a lot of the difficult thoughts that they have, are because of what they have allowed to be a habit within them. Because this just creates a vicious cycle. Amen.
Amen.
It is so crucial, so important that we give thought and we get more understanding about this concept, saints. Everything begins from thoughts. Now, I want you to listen to this powerful statement. If you can take control of your thoughts, then you can think like God, and you can be like God, and you can speak like God, and you can act like God. This is not heresy. This is not heretical. This is the truth of the Word of God. If you can take control of your thoughts and think like God, then you can be like God. And you can act like God. And you can speak like God. And you can act like God. This is the secret to changing our lives. Is to addressing the root of the thoughts that pervade our hearts and our minds. That is the secret. A lot of times you see people are trying to change their lives by doing physical things. Yeah, there is a doing part. There are things we need to do. But it really all begins from our thoughts, from our minds, our hearts. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, I believe it's verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You ultimately become what you think. The limits in our lives are either encouraged or destroyed from our thoughts, from the thoughts that we entertain and we yield our lives to, our minds to. Listen to that word again, that statement again. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Let's actually put our eyeballs on it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Thank you, Pastor Tino. Listen to this. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. You are a sum product, a sum total of what you think. You are a manifested reality of what you think. Your life today and your life tomorrow and your life in 5 years and in 10 years, if the Lord tarries, will be a sum total of what you are thinking today. Today, everything begins from our thoughts. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Listen, there's a difference. I didn't say you can determine the thoughts that come into your mind. You can't do that. You can't. None of us can determine the thoughts that come into our mind. Satan is always seeking to put thoughts in our minds. He's always throwing thoughts into our minds. No, you can't determine the thoughts that come into your mind, but you can determine the thoughts that you allow to stay and the thoughts that you allow to rule your mind. This is very important. This is very important. You can't determine the thoughts that come into your mind. There are thoughts from the enemy. There are thoughts from our associations. There are thoughts from what we see. There are thoughts from our environment. There are thoughts from our upbringing. There are thoughts. You can't determine the thoughts that come into your mind. The person who takes a gun and goes and shoots someone for no reason, or the person who hurts somebody for no reason, or even hurts someone that they say they love for no reason, that began from their thoughts. That began from their thoughts. So, you can't determine the thoughts that come into your mind, but you can definitely determine what thoughts stay, the ones you are allowed to stay. Someone say, Pastor, you mean I can determine what stays? Yes, you can. And you can determine what rules your mind. You can. If you couldn't, the next few scriptures we read are not that we need to take them out of the Bible. They will not be true. But yes, you can. Say with me, make this confession of faith. I can determine the thoughts that I allow to stay in my mind. And I can determine the thoughts that I allow to rule my mind and my life. Amen. I can. If I couldn't, Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 would not be so. What does it say? Let's read that scripture. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, listen now, think on these things. Think. So you get to determine what thoughts stay and what thoughts don't. You get to weigh every thought in the balance. You get to look at those thoughts, some of the thoughts that come and say, oh yeah, you are lovely, you can stay. And you get to look at some thoughts that come and say, no, you are not virtuous. You are not of good report. You don't have any praise, so you can't stay here. And immediately judge them and throw them out. I mean, this is so important, folks. Now, I didn't say it's going to happen overnight. But as we grow in this, we can become more like Jesus. We can become more like God. You can say, yeah, this thought is coming. It may be a hurtful thought. It may be a thought that makes you want to have or show vengeance and revenge and treat somebody wrong. Maybe legitimately they did you wrong. And maybe you feel like it's right for you to do them wrong too, because they did you wrong. But if you wait in the balance and you ask, is this thought, is it pure? Is it just? Is it honest? Is it lovely? Is it full of virtue? Is it full of good report? Does it have any praise? No. You can't stay here. No vengeance. No stay. You can't stay here. Thinking evil about anything, or thinking even some of the things that seem like there's nothing wrong, there's just casual thoughts. But when you put them on that scale, is it pure? Is it just? Is it true? Is it honest? Is it virtuous? Does it have praise? Is it good report? Oh, no. You can't stay here. You can't stay here. And if we commit ourselves to taking control, I need to read this to you again. If you can take control of your thoughts, then you can think like God, and you can be like God, and you can speak like God, and you can act like God. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So he says, think on these things. You get to decide whether you want to think on it or not, whether you want to dwell on it or not. Remember, like those animals, that illustration I gave you at the beginning of this service, that rumination, meditation, when you send it down there and then you bring it back up, you get to decide what you bring back up. It doesn't just come up. No, you get to decide. Yes, I'm bringing this back up and I'm going to give some thoughts to this. But the Bible says the only thoughts you should allow to do that, to fill your mind and come back up and fill your life, are these thoughts here in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. If they don't fulfill this criteria, they don't deserve to stay in your mind. You don't deserve to give them any spare time. You remember in the New Testament, many times, Matthew chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus will say, take no thought. Take no thought. It means you can decide the thought you take. You can decide which thought you take and which one you don't. I reject that thought. You can say, I know I don't want that. I reject that thought. That is not my thought. That is not my thought. Why do you say that is not my thought? Because you recognize that is not a thought that came from the Holy Spirit with your relationship with God. How do you know that? Okay, here. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So if they don't line up with those criteria, those parameters that the Word of God has given us, then you don't take them. You reject them outright in your mind. Someone say, well, how can I reject? The Word of God tells us how to do it. It tells us how you can reject it. Now, the way habits are formed. It's through repeated exercise, repeated activity. Yeah. So if you've been doing something the same way for 30 years, don't assume that because you do it differently one time, it's going to immediately change. No, because it's become a part of you. It's become a part of your life. So how do you effect that change? How do you replace that old habit of entertaining ungodly thoughts? Entertaining thoughts that don't line up with these parameters here? Is that you make that your new habit. You take the ones that are godly and you resist and reject the ones. That's what the Bible tells us. How to do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It tells us. Somebody say, you mean I have that power? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And it is so important that you engage this power, saints. It is so important that all of us engage this power. Because this is how we live a good life. This is what God said in Isaiah 55. Then you will go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth with singing before you. Instead of the thorns will come the pine tree, the fir tree. Instead of the briar will come the myrtle tree. Hallelujah. Amen. This is how. There is a straight line from our thoughts to our destiny. Amen. You can turn down, you can cast down thoughts. You can say, no, that's not my thought. I reject you. I resist. Get out of my mind. And you may need to do it a few times and speak it out completely. Actually say it. Say, get out of my mind. I don't want you. And every time it comes, I don't want you. Yes. After a while, it will quit.
Yes.
After a while, it will quit.
Yes.
The problem comes when we entertain it. Sometimes, and we allow to dwell there, and we welcome it, and even thoughts like self-pity and low self-esteem and thoughts of anger and hurt and pain and wound in our emotions and feeling sorry for ourselves. Yeah. And those thoughts don't have a good destination, folks. They're not going to take us where we want to go. We're going to have to constantly resist those thoughts. There might be legitimate reasons why those thoughts come. But we have to say, you are not good. You are not honest. You are not pure. You are not just. There's no virtue in you. There's no prayer. Out. Out now. And you may have to do it 100 times and speak it. before it eventually quits, because it will stay there, because it has always come and it has always been welcomed every time it came in the past. But now, no room for you. You can't stay here. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Lord is the one helping us with this. We are not doing this with our physical abilities, our natural tendency. No, it is the Lord helping us do it. But we do it. We get it done with the help of the Lord. But it's not because we are able in ourselves. Pulling down our strongholds, verse 5, casting down imaginations. Casting them down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you can cast them down. You can arrest them. You can bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can judge them. Oh, saints. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit bring you into a place of release in this area of your life. In the name of Jesus. I pray that the Lord elevate you completely in this area of your life. That something supernatural begins to happen in your life, in this area of your life. In this area. This is where change happens. Have you wondered? Many of us believers have wondered, you know, for 20 years, I've wanted to change this particular thing in my life. For 20 years, I've tried. It just won't change. It will change. The reason it seems it won't change is because the thoughts that inform it are still there. They have become a stronghold that they have taken hold in that area of our lives. Well, it's time to dislodge them. It's time to flush them. Flush them out of our system. It's time to separate ourselves from them. I don't want anything to do with your thoughts. I don't want anything to do with you. You get out of my life. You get away from me. Jesus is Lord in my heart. He rules. You are trying to exalt yourself above the knowledge of Christ. I take you captive. Get away. Get out of my mind now in the name of Jesus. My friends, they will obey you. It may try for a while. It will eventually obey you. It will have to quit. It will have to get out of your mind. It will have to leave you alone. Hallelujah. We can cast them down. The Bible says you have been given a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. You have a sound mind. Say that with me. I have a sound mind. Say, I have a sound mind. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what he has given to us. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity. Amplify says, he didn't give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or craving and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given unto us a spirit of power and love, calm, well-balanced mind, discipline and self-control. We have that mind. Well, a sound mind is a mind that thinks the thoughts in Philippians 4:8. And a mind that is not sound is a mind that thinks thoughts that are contrary to Philippians 4:8. This is very crucial, folks. This requires our cooperation. This requires our deliberate action. I see my time is going here. But this is so rich, I've got to do some more of this. I'm going to stop in good time. But I've got to appeal to you. Just give me a few more minutes here. Hallelujah. This is what a spiritual mind is. You know, the Bible describes in the New Testament a spiritual mind versus a carnal mind. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about people that are spiritually minded and people that are carnally minded. It says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. What produces death in a life? No matter how much we pray, no matter how much we fast, no matter how many conventions we go to, if we do all of those things as good as they are, but we don't take control of our thoughts, that death it produces will not be changed. To be spiritually minded. Let me read that scripture for you. I wasn't planning to actually cross it out in my notes, so I don't give it time because I have other things I wanted to read here. But you know what? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just read it. Put our eyes on it. In Romans chapter 8. It says, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded is a mind that carries thoughts that are described in Philippians 4:8. Spiritually minded is a mind that has thoughts like God thinks. Spiritually minded is a mind that has thoughts that are enabled and energized by the Holy Spirit. Carnally minded, the mind and thoughts that lead to death are the opposite of that. To be spiritually minded is death. Sorry, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yeah. Say with me, I'm spiritually minded. In the name of Jesus, I am spiritually minded. I have good thoughts. I have a sound mind. I'm healthy in my spirit. I'm healthy in my soul. I'm healthy in my emotions. I'm healthy in my feelings. I'm healthy in my physical body. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know the thoughts in your mind? The thoughts that rule in your mind will eventually determine what happens with your physical body and your physical life. Death will eventually ruin that physical body and that physical life. It will sap the life out of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said in Jeremiah 29:11. Thank you, Lord. Let's begin to wrap this up. I'm getting out of time soon. Still have so much to go, but the Holy Spirit will give you and help you as you study some of these concepts further. He will help you get what you need to. And I trust God that we'll have more time later on in another service where I can come back and do more about this. This is so crucial. Jeremiah 29:11, look at what it says. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Think about that. The Lord draws a straight line between the thoughts he thinks about you and me to the expected end that we desire. Yes, Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. If the Lord thinks thoughts of good towards us, if he thinks thoughts of peace and not of evil towards us, what kind of thoughts should we think towards ourselves, within ourselves? God's thoughts determine your expected end. Your thoughts determine your expected end. God's thoughts determine your expected end. Your thoughts determine your expected end. And I tell you, no matter how much good God has for a believer, for his children, if the thoughts that they entertain in their lives are constantly warring against the thoughts that God has for them, they frustrate, they destroy the ability of God's thoughts to produce in our lives. So we are like the umpire here. We're like the referee. We can't be inactive here. God has good thoughts towards us. We have good thoughts for an expected end to become our reality. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. David said, your thoughts towards me, Psalm 139, 17 and 18. Your thoughts towards me are innumerable. I can count them. And they're good. They're good thoughts. Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, exceeding above, abundantly above everything that we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. Your thoughts will determine your future. So let's take hold of our thoughts. Let's do one or two things as I close here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's do one or two things. Let me encourage you to create a thinking room in your life. Create a thinking room in your life. One of the most successful people who ever lived in the Bible, well, successful in this season of his life when he practiced the principles of the Word of God, was Isaac. The Bible tells us in Genesis 24, verses 62. Let's read those two verses real quickly. This is very important, very powerful as I begin to wrap this up. Genesis chapter 24, verses 62 and 63. Genesis chapter 24, verses 62 and 63. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw and he beheld the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said to her servant, who is this man that's walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. And Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Think about it. Isaac was getting into a new season in his life. And he decided, I'm going out to the field to meditate. He had a thinking room. This well that the Bible tells us about in verse 62, he came from the way of the well Lahairoi. That word Lahairoi is a Hebrew word that talks about a focus on God, a centeredness on God. So that means Isaac, in his thinking room, made God the center of his focus. Isaac, in his thinking room, made God the center of his direction and his thoughts and vision. No doubt, no surprise then. Two chapters down, the Bible starts telling us how successful Isaac was. How Isaac went forward, he moved forward, he made progress. Even in a time of famine, the Bible says he sowed in the land and he reaped a hundredfold. He heard God when God said, don't go to that land, go to this other land, stay here. And so, and he did, and he prospered. We see part of the secret. He had a thinking room. He came from the well Lahairoi, where he regularly went to meditate in the field. And he lifted up his eyes and he beheld. You know when you have a thinking room? God will show you things. The Holy Spirit will introduce thoughts into your mind. He will flush out things and put new things in there. Thoughts of favor. Thoughts of life. When you are by that well, Lahairoi, which is like being in the well of the Word of God. When your well, Lahairoi, is the well of the Word of God. When the Word of God is the center of your thoughts. When the Word of God is the focus of your thoughts. Then in your thinking room, I know you have a prayer room. I hope you do. But most successful people have a thinking room. Your thinking room is a space, a place, a time when you ponder and think and dream and imagine and plan and create with the help and partnership of the Holy Spirit. Your well Lahairoi, when the Word of God is the center, when he said in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you meditate in it day and night. Day, your well Lahairoi, when is the word? When the word is the center of your life.
Yes.
Then you make your way prosperous. Like Isaac made his way prosperous. Let's close. I heard the story of this man, George Washington Carver, Several times he will talk about how he spent time praying, and then after that he will go in his lab and shut the doors and think and explore and receive the miracles that God had already produced for him in his spirit. Let's close right here, saints. You know that story, that prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, where Jabez prayed, and so I think it's verse 12 and 13, I'm not sure. He says, God, enlarge my coast. His mother named him Jabez because of sorrow that surrounded his birth. 4:10. Thank you. His mother bore him and called him Jabez. So he's a child of sorrow. But thoughts, Jabez had devotion to God, and thoughts started to come into his mind. Thoughts of an enlarged life. And because he had thoughts of an enlarged life, he started to pray prayers for an enlarged life. He started to believe for an enlarged life, for a life that was different from a life of sorrow. And the Bible says Jabez prayed unto God. He cried out unto God. Yeah, he looked all around him and he saw all the limits. He saw all the limits. In let's close right there. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. But verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Aye. And God granted him that which he requested. It all began from his thoughts. Saints, take control of your thought life. And as you take control of your thought life, the Holy Spirit will help you to think more like God, to be more like God, to act more like God. You'll find limits falling off of your life. You find limits being destroyed off of your life. You find you're making your way prosperous. You're finding you're having good success. You're having good success. I want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. Let's just pray. Let's just, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your holy word. Lord, we receive all that you've spoken to us today through your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, we receive every instruction and direction that you've given to us through your word today. We accept and we agree that, Lord, we can determine the thoughts of our lives. We accept today and we agree, Lord, that we can think like you. We can be like you. We can act like you. We can speak like you. We agree with you today, Lord, that limits over our lives are falling off as we take control of the thoughts that we allow in our lives. We agree with you today that we will meditate your word day and night. Your word will become our well, Ahiroi. And because we do that, we will make our way prosperous and we will have good success. Pray for yourself right now, wherever you are. I know many times our minds, when we think of our minds, we think of our head. But I want you to place one hand on your heart, on your chest, and another hand on your head. Because there's a direct conduit that connects both of them. And I want you to declare over yourself in the name of Jesus, I have godly thoughts. I have thoughts of life. I'm spiritually minded. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. I have not been given the spirit of fear, the spirit of cowardice, the spirit of timidity, but I have received the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, I speak over my mind. In the name of Jesus, you are the mind of Christ. You think thoughts of godliness. You think thoughts of favor. You think thoughts of life. You think thoughts of healing. You think thoughts of deliverance. I declare the thoughts of godliness, the thoughts of good, the thoughts of favor, thoughts that are just, thoughts that are honest, thoughts that are true, that are full of virtue, good report, and praiseworthy. that I allow and entertain and celebrate in my mind will eventually create a good destination for my life in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call myself blessed. I call my life blessed. Father, I give you the glory. Lord, I give you the praise. You alone are worthy to receive it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Saint, I speak the blessing of the Lord upon your life. I speak the blessing of heaven upon you. Concerning you, I declare in the name of Jesus, you are making your way prosperous. You are walking in good success. You are becoming everything that the Lord ordained your life to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we honor you. We thank you so much for being with us in this service. Thank you, Father, for speaking your word so powerfully to us. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it to yourself now, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.